The scripture that we're going to be reading today is found in the first book of John, chapter 2, verses 12 to 23, but I'm going to just talk a little bit about 24, too. So they say for someone to remember something new, you need to hear it about 3 to 5 times. But everybody's got opinions, and they say, well, I think it's 7, and I think it's 10, but I say 3 to 5. Or more. It really depends on people and the circumstance, right? Their age, the level of importance of what to remember. There's all kinds of things to think about. Some people can get it once when they hear it. You hear something once and you've got it. You know, like if I read a scripture verse and it just there's been some scripture verses that I've read once and the Lord's allowed me to memorize them instantly. Because it's just a wow. It's a wow thing. I said, man, it's fantastic. And it's just kind of, it's been branded on my heart. And other times, you know, you really have to work at it. And it's twice or 3 times or more. You know, does anybody remember Terry Winters, evangelist? I met him years ago. And then we had a men's prayer breakfast somewhere up North Calgary here. And it's been years since I met him. And I walked up to him, and he shook my hand. He says, hi, Herb, how are you? It just blew me away that he could remember my name. And it's been years since he's seen me. And I know as a traveling evangelist, you meet thousands of people. And people come up to you all the time. They expect you to remember their name. One time one person came up to me and said, remember, you were in our church 4 years ago. I was in the fourth row and I had a plaid shirt on. Oh, yes, I remember you. You know, Terry had an amazing memory. Some learn better with objects, like our son Jason or Herbie. He has to touch something. For him, it was always visual, right? And he had amazing memory. He'd memorize books. And then there's someone like Zach. Now, he's here today, so I have to give him $5, right? But here's the deal. I mean, school and Zach was like oil and water. And if it didn't interest him, it was obvious that he wasn't interested in it. But if something grabbed him, he wanted to know everything about it. He comes home one day and says, do you want to hear what I learned in school today? And I said, sure. He said, hypothermia. He told us everything that there was about hypothermia. But that just grabbed him, you know, and it was an interest to him. And wow, his memory really worked there. And then once we were going through some books and I found this book called Maximum Memory. And I grabbed this book and I'm looking at it. And I said, Crystal! She says, what? I said, is this your book? She said, what's it called? Maximum Memory. And she said, I can't remember. And how do we remember something we've already been taught? I mean, how do we remember all the stuff we learned in school? Man, it's gone. You know, we may forget a principle, a teaching, an exhortation, right? We may forget a promise, a warning, or even a consequence, and so on and so forth. And something that's important. And how could we forget something that's important? Well, maybe we don't think it's important at all. Not worth remembering. What we're about to study today is very important. And we need not only to remember it, but we need to apply it to our lives. We really do. And as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit to help us learn and to help us keep on track. It says in John 14:26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. These were the words of Jesus. whatever is important to God needs to be important to us. And he wants us to remember these things and to apply the principles and teachings to our life. And this is not a mechanical thing, right? Some people try to make it a mechanical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's got to be a Holy Ghost thing. And you're not going to do it unless you're born again. We all have a priority list. Most of the time it's about us. Isn't it, really? But what is important to me, I think that's the wrong thinking. For a Christian, we're supposed to think different. We're supposed to talk different, right? What's important should be what's important to God. And if we think that way, and we live that way, whatever is important to God is going to be important to us. It's got to be a way of life. It's just not a one-day-a-week thing. It's got to be the way we walk and talk and live and breathe. And it's not a mechanical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And there are things that God has given us that we must not forget. In Psalm 119:11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Again, I'm going to reaffirm, it's not about our agenda. It's not about our affiliation. It's not about our tradition. It's a Holy Spirit thing. Supernatural response, supernatural results with a supernatural God. That's who we serve. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to read this together. I'm reading out of a New King James, by the way. "I write you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even how many Antichrists have come, by which we know that is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father." May God truly bless the reading of his powerful word. Man, I just love the word of God. The Apostle John, again, is addressing and dealing with issues of the day, right? False prophets, dangerous teaching, Antichrist identified, and he needs to address and correct those who have gone astray. Those who are weak in the faith, it's like damage control, setting things straight. It's not easy being a leader. It's not about doing the popular thing. It's about doing the right thing. And the truth can only set captives free. And Jesus is the truth. Amen? Remember the Gnostics, they're teaching, right? This is part of what he was addressing. This is what they're teaching. This is what the church was being bombarded with back then. That Jesus is not the Christ. That God is not the Father of Jesus. That Jesus is not the Son of God. They denied the virgin birth of Jesus. They considered Jesus a common man and the son of Joseph and Mary. Just the son of Joseph and Mary. And this is such backwards and wrong and dangerous and terrible teaching. And it's almost, it was common, almost common today that a lot of the cults out there are teaching this same thing. And there are even sometime, one time, evangelicals even teaching these things today. All you have to do is turn on the TV and listen to what's going on, the teaching. And we are some of our people that we held up in such high esteem are now teaching these untruths, these heresies. And we need to be aware. That's why we need to be in the Word. We need to be grounded in the Word of God. So when these things come towards us, we can just, that's not what I believe. That's not what the Holy Scriptures say. And that's why it's so important that we need to disciple people in our church. There are people that have gone to church for 40 years have never been discipled. Now, mind you, every time we have church, it's a type of discipling. Every time we have Bible study or prayer meeting, every time we spend time honoring God and lifting up the name of Jesus, it's some type of discipleship. But I mean, a sit down on a one-to-one with a mature Christian, that he can show you the principles and the teachings of God and what to watch out for, what to look out for, and how we know that we're grounded in the Word. We need to know that. And so what's happened is that a lot of people, their convictions are somebody else's opinion. And when your convictions are somebody else's opinion, it leads to statements like that God is not the Christ, that God is not the Father of Jesus, and so on and so forth. But those of us who know the Lord, and we know whom we've been taught from, and we know the Scriptures, we know the truth, we need to stand firm. Because it's easy for some people to go off in left field. It's easy for some people to say, well, that's what everybody else is doing. That's what everybody else is believing. Or, you know, I like this person. I'm just going to believe what they believe. That's too dangerous. You are responsible for you. When you stand before God, you are responsible for you. And you know what? You need to get it right. And we need to get it right. There's four stages in a Christian's experience. As John has opened up the scripture with, it says infants or little children, newborn Christians. So he's talking to newborn Christians. Infants, newborn Christians, little children, those who have been saved for a time, right? Little children, I wanted to get that right. Young men, those who are grown in the prime of life and no longer are tossed to and fro by, like children that are confronted with fallacies or false teaching. They're pretty grounded in the Word. And then there's the fathers, those who are matured in the Lord, they could be the leaders of the church. So the four stages in a Christian's experience is infants, brand new Christians, little children, those who have been saved for a time, young men who have been discipled and no longer are swayed by backward teaching, and fathers, those are our elders, men and women of the church who are mature, really mature in Christ, who have great understanding and knowledge and discernment. In verses 12 and 14, he is reaffirming what they have already been taught, right? Jesus has forgiven your sins. What happens when someone comes in the church, or you're confronted with someone and they start saying all these backward things? If you're not in your Bible, You may even want consider, right? Well, maybe we've got it wrong. Maybe we don't have it right. You know, one time, there's only one time in Crystal's life that she doubted her faith, and that's when she stopped reading her Bible. It's my hope and prayer that each and every one person in our church is in the Word of God every day, and more than once. It's valuable. It's food that we need. We need that communication with God. We need to be plugged into Him so the Holy Spirit can speak to us. You know, one time I remember I just had devotions one morning, and I was reading in Proverbs, I think, and it talks about, you know, don't rebuke a fool lest he turn against you, but if you rebuke a wise man, he'll count it a blessing. Something like that, right? And then all of a sudden, I have this confrontation with someone that day. And I had every right to correct this person. But now, because I'm in the Word of God, and I had that devotional, that's that food that you need in a believer's life, right? The Holy Spirit said, what did you read this morning, Herbie? I said, yeah, I read that. He said, now you've got to decide, is this guy a fool? Or is he someone that you can, that he'll count it a blessing if you correct him? And I said, well, Lord, I'm sorry to say, I think he's a fool. He says, then leave it to me. Get that? Leave it to me. And you know what? I left it to the Lord. And you know, when we leave things to God, you know what? He can do just fine. He can do just fine. Don't you know that? And He did. He took care of it. That's why we need to be in the Word. Read up and prayed up, right? So when these things come, these circumstances come, or bad teaching comes, no way, that's not right, that's not true, that's wrong. That's not what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God says. He says, Jesus has forgiven your sins. You do know the Lord, the God you love and serve, the Lord God. You do know Him, who always was and always will be. You have overcome the devil through the power of God. You are strong in the Lord. God's word lives in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He's reaffirming this. Some people were doubting their faith, right? I think one thing that I do believe, this one thing the church is missing today, you know, and this is where you get all kinds of denominations. This is where you get all kinds of different opinions, right? And but there's my opinion, my belief. I still believe in the fivefold ministry. It's still active in the church today. You have apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors, the fivefold ministry. One thing the church is missing today are apostles. And you can call them area ministers or whatever you want, but that type of leadership in the church. And they would go around and they would put out fires like John's doing, and like Paul did and Peter did. And these should be recognized men and women of God who are anointed of the Holy Ghost, who have wisdom and discernment, who can step in and say, that's it, you're wrong, because it doesn't line up with Scripture. And there's a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble can be avoided if we could recognize people like that. But too many people have opinions, and too many people want it done their way and not God's way. Okay. It's repeated twice in verse 13 and 14. It says, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Note, you cannot be a child of God and not know the Father. To be a child of God, you need to know the Father. Knowing God has nothing to do with rules and regulations. It's about relationship. Again, it's not a mechanical thing, right? It's a relationship thing through Jesus Christ, through the shed blood, through the resurrection. And it's because of a transformed life that we can know Him in a personal way. It's not a mechanical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's worth mentioning that two times it is stated that believers have overcome the devil in verse 13 and 14. And this is by the way of the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. These verses are an encouragement to the body of Christ. They need to be an encouragement to us. And John, this is someone that walked with Jesus. He was taught by Christ. He was discipled by Christ. He saw the miracles hands-on, close to. He could probably feel at times Jesus' breath on his face. He was with him. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. And this is how Peter explains when Peter is teaching, I believe, referring back to the Mount of Transfiguration, I believe. I could be wrong, but forgive me if I am. But this is what he says to... This is Peter, second chapter of Peter, chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. These guys were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he was trying to, in love, set it straight. If a person is not saved and grounded in the Word of God, anybody can be confused, led astray, distracted, deceived. And even if you're a born-again believer and you're not in the Word, and you don't have fellowship with Christians. That's why it says, do not forsake the assembling of the brethren. We are to come together for more than one reason. Yes, to glorify God, to worship Him, but there's strength in numbers. And we need to encourage one another and love one another through the good times and the hard times. And if we're a standalone Christian, we're going to be easily deceived, easily distracted. And so when these false teachings come in, we may begin to believe that, well, there's other ways of getting saved. And maybe Jesus isn't who he says he is. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to think. And that's why we need to be grounded in the Word. So, first of all, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you need to be in the Word so you're not easily distracted and deceived. For those who don't know the Lord, they are already deceived. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you're deceived. But the fact is that you're here today, and God wants you to be part of His wonderful family. Listen, I heard it said there are 730 established religions in the world, and they can be broken down to 3,200 sects. Christianity is one religion with over 200 sects, each one of their own unique traditions and interpretations of the Bible. That's a lot of beliefs, right? In Matthew 7, it says, narrow is the gate and few will enter in. Know this, I don't believe a person can do whatever they want to do and expect to enter the kingdom of God. I don't believe that. And it says, narrow is the gate and few will enter in. There's going to be a lot fewer people that are going to get to heaven than we think. Because it's just not about saying a prayer. Some people do the sinner's prayer. It's wonderful that we say the sinner's prayer, but it goes way beyond that. You can say the sinner's prayer and still live like the devil. What needs to take place is your life needs to be transformed by the power of God. And when your life is transformed, you don't keep on doing the things you used to do. You don't keep on talking the way you used to do. God brings new things in your life. It says that I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. You're listening. Listen, this is a big deal. We need to get it right. People's lives depend on it. In Philippians 3:8 it says, Paul writes, "Yet indeed I also counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Rubbish can be looked at, you can call it, different translations call it garbage, dregs, refuse, filth, dung. He says, I have suffered the loss of all things, which if we stop there, we say, oh, poor Paul, he's had to suffer the loss of all things, but it goes on to say, and count them as rubbish. The things of this world, he counts rubbish. In verse 15, it starts out in 1 John, right? In verse 15, it says, do not. And what part of that don't we have a hard time understanding? When it says, do not, does that mean sometimes? Or it's okay to? Or just when it says, do not. It's very clear. And we are not to love the world or the things in the world. We are to make choices. And there are consequences to every choice that we make. John writes, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Years ago, Mrs. Woods that told me that they used to have all these salesmen come by the house. Anybody remember when all the salesmen used to come by the homes and knock on the door? And this particular time, there was a TV sale door-to-door. Can you imagine a door-to-door TV salesman? Can you imagine someone today with a 60-inch flat screen out in front of your porch trying to sell you a TV? Anyway, they didn't have a TV, and salesman knocks on the door and says, hey, guys, how you doing? And look, I'm selling TVs. And they said, that's nice. And their pitch line was this, let us bring the world to you. And Mr. Woods said, no thanks. Let us bring the world to you. And they said, no, thank you. Why can't we say that? Why can't we say that? I remember seeing a billboard in Calgary going down McLeod Trail where there was a pretty woman there and a flashy car and there was wealth. They had gold watches on and all kinds of stuff. And at the bottom of the ad, it said, the meek will not inherit this. Well, maybe I don't want it. Is that something that we should want as the things in the world? Like all this flashy stuff and piles of this and piles of that? And for all that the world has, what does it really have to offer us? It goes on to say that for all that's in the world, it says the lust of the flesh. And I made a list of some of the things under the lust of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. That's very difficult to get along with. Emulations, jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, rebellions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and so on. The lust of the flesh. And then the lust of the eyes. The lust for women. Eyes full of adultery, covetousness, all things desired, idol worship, all kinds of evil. And I remember reading in Timothy here, in 2 Timothy, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. And he goes on in chapter 4 and he does another list. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, the church, the Christians, the born-again believers, those of us who are filled with the Holy Ghost, right? But you, be watchful in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And God has given us all a ministry, and he wants us to fulfill that, but we need to forsake the world. The pride of life, or the pride of life, self-righteousness, positions and power and riches and beauty and the ability to be strong over people and constant vaunting of oneself. Every day we are bombarded with worldly stuff, how we should think and what we should believe and how we are to act and what we should wear, what we should eat, what we should drink, and you need this and you need that, and update and upgrade and wear, eat, and get current and keep up and don't be left behind. How many cell phones do you need? And computers. I got to get the new one. I just got to get the new one. Why? You don't know how to use the first one. People who are putting their trust in the world and the things of the world will be forever disappointed lest they turn to Christ. And the world is going to pass away. Things are changing now. Prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Almost every day, Israel is in the news. Come on. And the word is, with all these things happening, look up. Jesus is coming soon. And 1 John 5:1-5 says, and whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who believes in him who begot also him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Remember, this is not a mechanical thing. This is a God thing, right? And for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And it goes on to say, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Listen, there are a number of blessings for being obedient. I would say blessings follow obedience. Here's a few here. 10 blessings for doing the will of God. You can write these down if you want. Number one, an entrance into the kingdom of God, Matthew 7. He can keep us from falling, Matthew 7:24-29. Expose fruit that one's deeds are of God's, John 3:21. Answers to prayer, John 9:31. Being blessed, James 1:22-25. Never moved, Psalm 15:1-5. To abide forever, 1 John 2:17. The new birth, 1 John 2:29. Righteousness like Christ, 1 John 3:7. And confirmation of sonship, 3 John 11, a few verses. Little children, I believe this is, I believe this point in time in the scripture is down to, I believe that he's addressing everyone now. To the infant, right up through to the leaders of the church. In verse 18, this is this last hour. We're close to the end. It's close to the coming of Christ. You have heard of the Antichrist and that he's coming, right? And there are many Antichrists out there. Anyone who is against Christ is an Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist, but they have the Antichrist spirit. In this sense, there are many. We can identify many in recent years and today by the fruit that they leave behind, especially where their teaching does not line up with Scripture. This is one of the many signs to identify that we are in the last hour. And it says, those who went out from them, if they really were part of those, they would have stayed. And it's because they left that their true nature was seen. It says that they might be made manifest. It's obvious that they were not part of the church at all. And I know that just because we go to church doesn't make us saved. Just because we carry a Bible, it doesn't mean that we're a Christian. Just because we have an associated with people who know the Lord doesn't mean that we're going to get in. You have got to make that choice. It's your choice if you're going to be a Christian or not. And you need to repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your life to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from everything through the precious shedding of the blood. And when you do that, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you become part of the family of God. And no longer is it a mechanical thing, but it's a spiritual thing. Nevertheless, it says that we Christians are the anointed of God. We're the anointed. You know, someone says, we've had some people come up and say, pray for anointing on me. And I say, you're praying wrong. I say, Jesus is the anointed one. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he comes and lives in within our hearts, in our lives, and now we are the anointed of God. Now, if we choose to walk in that anointing, that's a different thing. It's all about choice. And in 1 John, I want to read this again. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Jesus is the anointed one. And now, because of our decision, we are the anointed of God, right? And with that comes many promises of protection and wisdom and discernment and faith and power. And he goes on to say, therefore. I like it when the scripture, all of a sudden, verse, and then there's in verse 24, it says, therefore. It's like now that you got this, now that you understand it, now that you know where we're supposed to stand and what we're supposed to believe, and you know how it is, now that you're back on track, it says, therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you. So just because you heard it doesn't mean it abides in you. But if it abides in you, this applies to you. And you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Let that permeate, that which you heard from the beginning, remain in you. It refers to Christ, I'm sure, because of the same expression in 1:1 and 2:13 and 14. Again, this is not a mechanical thing to believe in. This is a spiritual thing. And it's really impossible to understand unless you're a believer. You may say, hey, I'm managing my sin just fine, thank you very much. You're not supposed to manage it, you're supposed to forsake it. Right? And if you're going into this sin managing mode, that I'm going to manage my sin just fine, you're only going to sin more. Because it's not a mechanical thing, it's a spiritual thing. And it's only through a transformation that you can have that power over sin. It's through transformation. It's through the power of God. You need a born-again experience. There is a veil the devil puts on people's understanding, and unless God removes that veil, there will be no transformation. And here's the best news you ever heard. It's for anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. You're here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can ask Him to come into your heart. And you can have that. God can remove that veil. And I'm praying right now that He's doing it this very moment, that you'd give Him a chance to do something special in your life, that He would give you that power over temptation, over sin, over the things of this world that try to entrap people. Well, money and stuff that you can't take with you anyway. Call on His name. Repent of your sin. Ask Christ to forgive you your sin, and He will come into your life and forgive your sin and make you clean. And the world will not be so attractive. It's not what you lose, it's what you gain. And where you end up. Forsake the world. Forsake the things of the world. Get back on track with the Lord. Jesus is coming back soon. And He wants to find His church ready. Are we going to be ready? It's my purpose. It's my passion to be ready. To go out there, and Crystal and I want to win as many people to Christ as we can. And to be the best blessing that we can be wherever God takes us. And it's my hope and prayer that God lights a fire under the church again. That we would know who we are in Christ. That we wouldn't be so easily persuaded by false doctrines and teachings, but we would be grounded in the Word. That we would know who we are in Christ, and that we would take a stand for Him. I like that song, "I'm Standing Firm on the Good Book." Amen? I'm standing firm on the good book. Hallelujah. Listen, there are some people here that I know pretty well, everybody in this room, but there are some people that I don't know. And in every service that we have, we give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel. And I don't know where you stand with the Lord. You know, you're here, and who am I speaking to now? I'm speaking to the children, I'm speaking to the teenagers, the young men and women, the mums and dads, the grandmothers, the grandfathers. I'm talking to everybody that's in this room, because the gospel is for everyone. And here's a question that I've asked many people in the past. If you were to die today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? And my hope and prayer is that you'd say, yes, I know. Perhaps you're thinking, well, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I do believe there's a lot of places that we go to as well that a lot of people have talked themselves into being saved. And they're really not saved, because the fruit that follows their walk does not go along with being a Christian. And it's just not enough just to say the prayer. There needs to be a transformation. There needs to be a transformation in your walk with God. That you love different, you think different, you talk different, you want the things of the Lord. And the things of this world no longer have a hold on you. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? It's my hope and prayer that your answer would be yes. Perhaps you're here today and you've never made that personal commitment. But you know, it's time. It's time to get right with God. It's time to put things straight. As John was charging the church, these guys, they got it wrong. You remember what you've been taught, because what you've been taught is right. Jesus is God's Son. He is part of the Trinity. He did shed his blood for the remission of sins. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to get into heaven.